before we preach. We're going to be in the book of Romans tonight, chapter number 15. Good to see my friend Ken and his family back with us tonight. And Joanne, if I have it right, Joanne and Angel, good to see them and their other kids with us. And we've been glad to have them visiting with us for a few weeks now. We'll be in Romans 15 tonight. And we're going to be in verse number 7. And we'll pick up where we left off this morning. Romans 15, verse number 7. I'd ask you to go ahead and stand. The title of the message tonight is How to Glorify God. How to Glorify God. Verse number 7. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, For this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I want to preach tonight on how to glorify God. I believe in these verses we find four ways that we might glorify God as Christians. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the good singing tonight. Lord, I pray that you would continue to help our church. May we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there's someone here that's really on the outside looking in, they're not saved, I pray that they would come to covet what we have in Christ, and Lord, that they would come to trust in you before it's too late, and Lord, to give you the glory that you're worthy of, and Lord, we know that you'll happily, gladly save them. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want to preach tonight on how to glorify God. Paul has been preaching and teaching us about Christian unity in the church, how to have unity. And as we saw this morning, he is wrapping up this issue by telling us the great purpose of unity. We know that the great purpose of unity is to bring maximum glory to God. God is most glorified when his church and his people are the most unified in serving him. We saw that in verse number 6, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. So we are clearly glorifying God the best that we can when we are the most unified. By the way, I didn't even get into it this morning, but if you want to go home and study John 17, Christ's great prayer for his church is that they would be one. He said, I pray for them that would believe on me, that they may be one in me and in the Father. He prays for times that his church would be one. And then in the very same prayer, he prays, Father, glorify me as I have glorified thee, and I am glorified in them. So in the same prayer that he prays for unity, he prays that the church would bring maximum glory to God. So these two things go together. But now tonight, I want to look at these verses. And I guess I want to probe that statement a little bit more and find out what does that mean? God is most glorified when we're most unified. Does that mean that when the church gets together and we all get along, bam, God is glorified when we're unified? That's not exactly the meaning here that he's getting at. What he's saying is that there are different ways that we glorify God in our lives. And we bring him maximum glory when we all come together as a church and we do those things that bring him glory together with one heart and one mind. Does that make sense? So it's not just about being unified, like we're all just going to sit here and be unified as we sit here together and stare at each other. No, we're unified as we do things, right? We're unified in worship. We're unified in service. We're unified in missions and giving. And we're unified in different things that bring God glory. And we must be unified. But now tonight, I want to look at some of those things that we need to do together in a united way. I think that in this scripture, we find four of those ways. Now, there are a lot more things that you can do to bring God glory. There's many different ways to bring God glory in this life. I'm reading an old book by a Puritan preacher in the 1600s. His name's Thomas Watson, and he wrote a whole chapter with 20-something ways to bring God glory. I'm not going to give you 20 points tonight, but I'm going to give you four. We're going to stick with our text tonight. I want you to look beginning in verse number 9, and I want to give you some basic things about how that you can glorify God. The most beautiful thing about these things is anybody can do it. It doesn't matter how much you know the Bible, or how mature you are, or how old you are, how young you are, what your physical or mental capabilities are. Anybody and everybody can bring glory to God on one condition, and that is if you are His child. And if you're saved by the grace of God, anybody that is not saved will never be able to glorify God in their life. So number one, look in verse 9. God is glorified by our appreciation. When we give God appreciation, He is glorified. Look in verse 9. What is going on here is Paul is talking about how God has made the church of Jew and Gentile and united them. And he's going to start quoting some Old Testament scriptures that talk about that. He said in verse 9, he said that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." Do you see those three words, "as it is written"? What he is doing here is quoting from the Old Testament. If you will quickly, turn back to Psalm 18, in verse 49. What he's saying here is this. Here's the argument of the chapter, that the church is to be one. In those days, there were Jews and Gentiles. That's how they always pictured it. You were either a Jew or you were everybody else. You were a Gentile. And what Paul is saying is that in the church, there is no longer Jew and Gentile. It's one church. And it's always been God's plan to bring both parties together. And so what he starts doing is going back to these Old Testament prophecies and showing us that that has always been God's plan, was to bring Jew and Gentile and all nations together in one church. So he quotes from Psalm 18 in verse number 49. What does he say? Well, as soon as I turn there, I'll tell you what he says. He said in verse 49, "Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen," or the Gentiles, "and sing praises unto thy name." I know it looks a little bit different, but if you compare it back to Romans and 15 and verse number 9, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles," or heathen, "and sing unto thy name." The reason why the wording's a little bit different is because the Old Testament is in Hebrew and the New Testament is in Greek. So someone that spoke Greek translated from Hebrew to Greek, and we translate that from Greek to English. And so it varies a little different, but that's the verse that he's quoting. What he's saying is, in the Old Testament, the psalmist was saying, "I am going to confess God or give thanks to God in front of the Gentiles, and I will sing unto His name." In other words, it's always been God's purpose that the Jews and the Gentiles would confess God among each other and give thanks to Him as a congregation and sing to His name. Number one, the first way that we give God glory together is by giving thanks together. He said, "I will give thanks unto God among the heathen," or among the Gentile nations. God is glorified when we are thankful for what He's done for us. You say, "Revis, this is simple stuff, but it's so neglected." You know what I love that about that, though? Anybody can be thankful. So anybody can bring glory to God. God is glorified when we are thankful for what He has done. What better way is there to glorify God than to publicly thank Him for His blessings and graces and mercies. I'm not just talking about thanking God in your mind, but he's saying, I will thank him and confess him openly, publicly among the Gentiles. When you thank God and you show your gratitude and appreciation for what the Lord has done in your life, and you do that publicly, then others will see your gratitude and they will come to Christ as a result of your gratitude. It brings glory to God that we would give thanks to him. How hard is it in the workplace, on the job, at church, among your family, to simply openly to say with your lips that you're thankful to God for something, that you thank God for another day, or how hard is it to simply express thanks? In heaven, they are always giving God thanks there. In Revelation 4:9, the four creatures around the throne give God thanks. In Revelation 7, verse 12, the angels give him thanks, and the elders give him thanks, and the four creatures give him thanksgiving. You say, Revis, I don't have anything to give God thanks for. Well, in 1 Timothy 4:4, we can give God thanks for our food. I know all of you ate today. You've got something to give God thanks for. I don't care what you're going through. You know, whenever we pray over a meal, that's a scriptural thing. And I don't know so much about blessing our food. We always say, would you bless the food? I don't really see in the scripture, maybe I'm wrong, where it says that we are to pray that God bless our food. I don't think that's wrong. But the main reason we're praying over our food is to give God thanks for our food. Everything is good. It is to be received with thanksgiving. If you got nothing else to thank God for, go home, open up your fridge, and drink a bottle of water and thank God for clean water to drink. He gave you that. Thank God for enabling you to be a part of his ministry. 1 Timothy 1:12. If you can serve in a church or in your family for God in any capacity, we can thank God for that. We can give God thanks for the people that he's put in our lives. 1 Timothy 2:1. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we give God thanks in everything. If you've got nothing to give him thanks in, then just give him thanks in everything. Does that make sense? Clear as mud? In everything, give God thanks. In Colossians 3:15, he said, be ye thankful. In Colossians 1:12, give thanks to God for your salvation. Ephesians 5:20, give thanks to God always for all things. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, thank God for giving us victory. He has made us always to triumph. In Psalm 26:7, thank God for his wondrous works. In Psalm 34, give thanks at the remembrance of God's holiness. Thank God for being holy. Give thanks for God's mercy and goodness. Psalm 106:1, give thanks for his righteous judgments. Thank God that he judges and he's right in everything he does. Psalm 119:62, we can go on and on and on. Thankfulness and gratitude is a huge part of the Word of God in the Christian life, and it's one of the great ways that we can give God glory because there's so much to thank him for, and it's never ending. An unthankful child is a reproach to good parents, and an unthankful child of God is a reproach to a good God. He's always worthy of our thanks. You say, Revis, I don't feel like giving thanks. Well, give thanks anyway. Let your feelings catch up with you later. Right? We always have a reason to give God thanks. Number two, and you can turn back to Romans, we glorify God by giving him our appreciation. And we, number two, glorify God by enjoying him. Look in Romans 15 in verse number 10. He's quoting from another Old Testament scripture. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. Again, what he's saying is that he's proven in the Old Testament time and time again, it has always been God's purpose for God's people from the Jewish and the Gentile nations to come together in one body and to do these things together. Number one, we ought to be giving thanks together. And number two, we ought to be rejoicing together, one with another, over the things that God has done. We ought to give him, we glorify him by appreciating him. And number two, by enjoying him. That's what it means to rejoice. You rejoice in something. To rejoice is to express joy. It's to find great pleasure and satisfaction an enjoyment in something. You don't rejoice over something that you don't enjoy, right? God is glorified when we rejoice in Him. There's no greater source of joy than God. There's no greater source of satisfaction than the Lord and His promises. In Psalm 68, 19, He said that God daily loadeth us with benefits. I may not be rich, but I'm loaded. I'm loaded with the benefits that God's given me, right? We have so much to enjoy. God gets glory when we enjoy all the blessings He has to give. How easy could God make it to enjoy us? God gives us a 5-star meal and says, the best thing you can do to glorify me is to enjoy this wonderful meal I prepared you. How hard is it, right? When you really think about enjoying, that's what God wants us to do. When we enjoy God's benefits over the wicked pleasures of sin, we're giving Him glory. When we choose His fine dining, if you will, over the crumbs that the world has to give, we're giving Him glory. I think about whenever you host another family at your house, or whenever, let's just say we do, when my wife cooks and prepares a meal, she is most honored when she sees that people are enjoying her meal, right? That's the greatest compliment you can give to someone that cooks and hosts, is by simply enjoying and rejoicing. Rejoice. Have any of y'all had food so good you rejoiced over it? You said, that is KFC, finger licking good. That's rejoicing, right? That's not just enjoying it, but expressing your enjoyment in it. And God is most glorified when His Christians are most cheerful and rejoice and jubilate and enjoy Him. Oh, aren't we just so discontent sometimes, though? I have to all the time take myself to prayer and slap myself around and say, well, what's wrong with you? You know, you woke up in a bad mood and you've been unhappy all day. Nothing can satisfy you. And you have more to be satisfied about. You have more to enjoy in the fact that you're saved and on your way to heaven and what God's done for you this day. There is so much to enjoy what God's given us. And to enjoy it is to give God glory. That's why God has us here. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. God is most glorified when we're most satisfied in what He has to do. The charge for Christians isn't hard. Go home tonight and enjoy the Lord. There's plenty to find. I promise you that. There's plenty to feast on. Number three, we glorify God by giving Him our appreciation, by giving Him thanks together. We glorify God by enjoying Him together and rejoicing in Him. Number three, we glorify God by giving Him our adoration, by adoring Him together. Look in verse 11. And again, here's another quote from the Old Testament, Psalm 117:1. Praise the Lord, all ye what? Gentiles. And laud Him, all ye people. Notice in verse 9, see the word Gentiles. Notice in verse 10, the word Gentiles. Notice in verse 11, the word Gentiles. The point here is that the Old Testament was written to the Jews, and what He's saying, the whole time, I want to bring the Gentiles with the Jews to glorify God together. And what's another way to glorify Him? Verse 11, by praising Him, by adoring Him together. Easter Evis, isn't giving God thanks and giving God praise the same thing? I think they're close, but they're a little different. You give God thanks for what He has done. You give God praise for who He is. See the difference there? My wife and I have a kind of a running joke, I guess you could say. Maybe not really a joke, but just something we do. We'll oftentimes, before we go to bed, you know, we say our I love yous before we go to bed, and then usually it's Madison, sometimes I do it. We'll say, why do you love me? Anybody else does that? Why do you love me? And we do it just because it usually aggravates one another. We got to think of ways to say something new every night. But you know, whenever we ask that one toward another, what we're looking for is not, you love me because I've done this for you. The answer we're looking for, right, honey, I hope, is you love me for because of who I am, right? Whenever she says, honey, why do you love me? I don't say, because you cooked me dinner and pack my lunch No. I'm not giving her adoration for what she does, although I give her thanks for that, but I'm giving her adoration and praise because of who she is, right? God is wanting us, yes, to give thanks for what he has done, but to praise him for who he is, right? We're not just after what he has to give. We're Christians and we serve him because of who he is, because he, as God, is beautiful and glorious and honorable and worthy of our praise. In Psalm 31, it talks about the wise woman, the virtuous woman, and it talks about all the wonderful things she does and how honorable she is, right? And it says the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. And then later in the chapter, her children arise up and call her blessed. And her husband gives her praise. Why? Because of who she is in the family. And the children and the husband praise. They ascribe to her the honor due her. You say, what are you getting at? In the same way, but in a much greater way, God is the most honorable. He is the most glorious. And his children ought to arise up and call him blessed. Blessed and praise his name because of who he is, the honorable, glorious God. So he is glorified when we adore him, when we praise him. To praise him is just to make a big deal out of him. And he is a big deal. And we ought to be making a big deal out of God, magnifying him and lifting him up. Number four and lastly, God is glorified, number one, when we give him our appreciation. We give him thanks. When we enjoy him, we rejoice. He's glorified when we give him our adoration. We praise him for who he is. Number four, he's glorified when we give him our affection, when we trust in him. Look in verse number 12. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the what? Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles what? Trust. In other words, I want you to turn back to where this is quoted. It was quoted from Isaiah 11:10. And notice, at the end of that verse, he said, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now turn back to Isaiah 11 and verse 10. What does it mean to trust God? We talk about that a lot, but what does that mean? Well, I think this will help you. In Isaiah chapter 11 in verse 10, you should notice these are similar. It's the same verse being quoted. Isaiah 11, verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign or an example of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. This is a hard one. It doesn't sound exactly alike. It's different in the different languages. But here's the point. At the end of Romans, that verse in Romans, it says, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Here, at the end of the verse, it says, his rest shall be glorious. What is it saying? In Romans, he's saying they'll trust in him. In Isaiah, it's saying they'll rest in him. That's the idea. That those who trust in God, you say, what does it mean to trust in God? It means to rest in God. Just as a baby rests in the arms of its parents, that is a form of trusting and finding solace and comfort in the arms of your parents. He said, to Christ, Christ is going to be lifted up and presented to the Gentiles, and they're going to seek him out, and they're going to trust in him. How? By resting in him. God wants both Jew and Gentile, the church as a whole, to trust in the Lord and to rest in him. God is glorified when you trust in his promises and you rest in his power and in his providence. Do you know why God's glorified when you trust him? Because you're telling everybody that God is true and he'll keep his promise. When you will not trust in the Lord, you're calling him a liar. You're saying that you know better than him, or that you don't think he'll keep his promise, so you won't trust him. But when someone trusts in God's plan for their life and in his word, they're glorifying God in that. They're recognizing that God is all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful, and he holds us in his hand, and he loves us, and he'll do nothing to harm his children. You say, how can I glorify God? Give him thanks this week. Then enjoy him. neglect, ignore, reject sin, and realize that you have far more enjoyment that could be found in God than in anything the world has to offer. You worship God when you refuse temptation and you choose to enjoy Him over sin. That's how you glorify God. Glorify Him by just praising Him, making a big deal out of Him. And then glorify God by trusting in Him this week. I would like the musicians to come. Would you bow your heads? Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, I pray that it would be a help to somebody tonight. Lord, I pray that You'd bless these scrambled words, Lord, as they've gone out. And Lord, I pray that this would just be a help that maybe would point someone in the right direction and someone that knows they need to live for God's glory. They don't know where to start. Help them to start here with these things. God, we do give You thanks for the great things that You've done. And we give You praise for who You are. Lord, we trust in You. We give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with us tonight? These altars are open right now if you need to come. What page number, Brother David?
151.
151.